Today, we are going to start a new chapter. Book of Acts, chapter 26. We are going to start from the verse 1.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews.
Amen. Now here, Paul got a freedom to preach. His hands are tied, but now he has courage to talk to King Agrippa and Festus and Bernice. If you remember last week, we just started that Bernice and Agrippa and Festus wanted to hear from Paul. But that last chapter, we didn't get a chance. So this is the chapter Paul is speaking. When King Agrippa gave Paul a freedom, he says, speak for thyself. Now he did not say, just tell me why you are here. Tell me why you came from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And tell me why you want to go to Rome. Why don't you go back to Jerusalem and let those people judge? That was not the question from Agrippa. Agrippa just wanted Paul to be free to talk about himself. In short, Agrippa and Bernice wanted to hear the testimony of Paul and see what happens.
Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, whereof I beseech thee to hear me patiently.
Okay, now Paul is saying, King Agrippa, you know all the customs of Jewish religion, and you know more about Jewish people. So whatever I'm going to say right now, please hear patiently. He did not want any interruption. He wanted everyone to listen what God has done in St. Paul's life. Verse 4.
My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee.
Okay, now Paul is saying, from my childhood, from my youth, I lived in Jerusalem. And all the people in Jerusalem, Jewish people, they know me. And not only that, he says, I am coming from the family of Pharisees. Pharisees are the strict religious people. And they believe in resurrection, they believe in God. And he's saying, I am coming from Pharisees. My background, I'm a Pharisee. Okay, verse 6.
And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers.
Now he says, why I'm here, all those Jewish people, what God gave promise to them, and I'm preaching the truth to Jewish people, and now they are judging me what I'm saying. Okay, go ahead. Verse 7.
Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?
Okay, now he's trying to say, our forefathers and all the 12 tribes, they worship God, they know everything about the resurrection. Even the book of Daniel tells about the resurrection. And now these people are judging me and bringing me in front of you and asking me why I'm preaching about the resurrection and why I believe the resurrection. And that's the subject they are judging me. Go ahead.
I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them.
Okay, he's trying to say, now these people are accusing me about following Jesus Christ and preaching that Jesus Christ is alive, I did the same thing. When the people were talking about Jesus and his disciples, I tried to harass them and I tried to persecute them, not only in Jerusalem, but everywhere, wherever he could find the people who are worshiping Jesus Christ and believing Jesus Christ, and I was even trying to kill them. And I was approving that what the other Jewish people are doing, harassing these Christian people, and I was one of them. And what was his idea? To destroy all the Christians who were believing in Jesus Christ. That's what he was doing. Verse 11.
And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities.
Can you imagine? He says, I punished them in every synagogue. And he was not satisfied that people are harassed and killed in Jerusalem. He says, even though I went to strange cities, the new cities, the cities are not in Jerusalem, and try to find anyone, anywhere, and try to kill them or destroy them. Verse 12.
Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me.
Now he's saying, I took the letter from the priests, not only for one person, he said the chief priests, means every synagogue. Wherever the synagogue is, whoever the preaching about Jesus Christ in that synagogue, or if any person is Christian, became Christian in that synagogue, he wanted to go and find the record of people who were Jewish and became Christian, get their addresses, go and harass them and persecute them, chain them and bring back to Jerusalem to judge them, even to kill them. This is what he says, I was doing. Verse 14.
At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
And he's saying, I was going to Damascus, at the midday, means in the noon time. He says, O King Agrippa, I saw the light in the way. They were surrounded by the light. And that light was so bright, not a single person could move. So the Paul fell on the ground, and he says, he heard the voice in his own tongue, and saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Now here the Saul got the authority, got the power, got the letters, and now he's not going alone. He has the people with him to arrest the people and even kill them. And now he's powerless. He's on the ground. He's already blinded. And he hears the voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And now he knew. This has to be God. So he says, who are you, Lord? Jesus Christ saying, I am the one. Jesus of Nazareth. And he says what? Why are you persecuting me? He might be thinking, I did not persecute God. But when you're persecuting the children of God, God says you're persecuting me. Amen. Each and every Christian brothers and sisters, no matter what color, what language they are, we are all brothers and sisters. And so we should be loving them as Jesus Christ loved us. So here the word of God is saying, if you're harassing, killing them, destroying them for your benefit, then you are destroying me, you're harassing me. And what example he gave? He said, listen, Paul or Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the prick. What is the prick? Prick is the sharp object. In those days, in even the other countries, they have one rod and they will be very sharp metal object like a nail. And if the bull or ox is not going fast, they will prick it. So the ox start running. And if the ox kicks back, he will get pricked more and bleed. So he's saying, Paul, you are kicking against the prick. And what will happen? You will bleed to death. Don't fight with God. People are saying, where is God? Let me see. One man came to me and he said, show me your God. And I am going to tie him to my bed and I'm going to shoot him. I said, sir, you don't think that God you can tie and shoot? But let me tell you, you will be lying in that bed and dying, and then nobody will come to rescue you. That's the time I'm going to show you who God is. And I left. Some days later, the man got sick. He was rushed to the hospital and he was dying and he was having a lot of pain, like a fish out of water. Could not have peace. And so he was crying. Somehow he said, call Pastor Peter to pray for me. I went to the hospital. I said, sir, you are the one told me, show me your God, and I'm going to tie him to my bed, and I'm going to kill him, shoot him. Can you do it today? He said, no. I said, but God is so merciful. Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you, and he's going to touch you. He's going to heal you, but you have to ask forgiveness for your sins. He cried to God. He asked forgiveness, and I laid hand and prayed for him. God healed him. When God healed him, he believed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He came to church. I baptized him, and he became a believer. So what I'm trying to say, you cannot kick against the prick. You cannot play game with God. Read the word. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Please read.
For despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
Amen. So God's saying, I have given you time to repent and ask forgiveness for your sins. And if you don't, God is not going to forgive your sins automatically. You have to ask forgiveness. Amen. And you have to repent and turn around. When you say repent means what? Repent means turn around. Turn where? Turn to God. You are going astray from God. Come back to God. That is real repentance. When you come to God, God is there to bless you. No matter what kind of sin you have committed. God is so gracious, he will forgive all kinds of sins, even the murder or prostitute or any kind of sin you have committed. He says, oh, heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. When you commit sin, there is no rest, there is no peace. The word of God said there is no peace to the wicked people. They are like a troubled sea. There is no peace, says God to the wicked. But you know, God gives peace to the people who come to God. Okay, let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 26, verse 15.
And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee.
Amen. Now look at this man. Saul was a murderer, killer, destroyer, and he was not satisfied doing himself. He had other more people with him and go to arrest Christians and destroy them. But God is so merciful, so kind. Even though God arrested him, like putting all the circle of light, a man fell on his face. And when Jesus talked to him, I am the one, Jesus of Nazareth, and you persecuting me. He got the message. And now he had the time. If he want to run away, he could go back. He would say, let's go back to Jerusalem. We don't want to go further because now I am blinded. Thank God, though, other people who were with him, they were not blinded. Everyone saw the same light. But the Paul was blinded, other people were not, because they led him to Damascus. This time they had chances to go back. But Jesus started talking to him. Say, but rise and stand upon thy feet. And what he's saying, God has given him message. He says, I have called you, I have saved you for this purpose. You will be my minister, you will be witnessing. That's why I have called you. And I'm going to reveal myself to you with a dream and vision, and I will guide you in all truth. So now listen to me, what I'm saying. Let's read verse 17.
Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee.
Now, the promise is given to Paul. I'm going to deliver you from the people, from Gentiles and from the Jewish people. So you don't have to be afraid. If you follow me, nobody is going to hurt you. That's the promise. We don't have to be worried and we don't have to be afraid of people. If Jesus Christ is with us, then nobody can do any harm to us. Amen. The Word of God says, He will protect us. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 7, he says, The enemy will come one way and they will run seven ways. How? Because God will keep the fear in their heart. You don't have to be afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, what he says? He says, God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. Once you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the fear will go away out of your heart. Because the Word of God says, the love conquers the fear. When you have love in your heart, the fear will not do any harm to you. The fear comes from enemy. The fear comes from the devil. But once you are born again, child of God, you do not have to be afraid of anyone or anything. That's why he says, I'm going to deliver you from the people, from the Gentiles, and wherever I send you, I'll be with you. Verse 18.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Okay. Now he says, why I have called you? To open their eyes. Whose eyes? The people who are not the believers. The people who are living in sin. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to the light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Now this is the mission he has given to St. Paul and is given to you and me. Our job to open the eyes of the people who do not know the truth. The word of God gives you light. Today someone was preaching and says, your word gives light to my path. The word of God has power to change people. David says in 119 Psalm verse 11, how can a person live a clean and holy life? He says, I have hidden your word in my heart, so what? So I cannot sin against you. So once the people are blinded with a sinful life, word of God gives them life. Jesus Christ is called the word of God. Once people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they come from out of darkness to the marvelous light. Read Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen. Forgiveness of sins is through Jesus Christ. Once Jesus Christ comes in our heart, we cannot live in darkness. Darkness is the kingdom of the devil. The light is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. When Jesus Christ comes in you, your life starts shining for Jesus Christ. And Jesus even said, you are the salt of the earth and what? You are the light of the world. That means our life is going to shine and someone is going to see Jesus in us. The people are dying without God and without Christ. Only Jesus is the answer. Okay, let's go back to our chapter. Verse 19.
Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance.
Amen. So he is saying to King Agrippa, you know what? I did not start serving the Lord. God called me. There are so many people start their work without God's calling. But he says, God called me, and I heard the vision. And I obeyed what Jesus Christ said. And because of obedience, I went to Damascus. I witnessed to them. I went to Jerusalem, witnessed to them. I went to Gentiles, I witnessed to them. And what was my preaching? Repent. Come to God. And bear the fruit of repentance. I wanted people to change for Jesus Christ. People can say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but there is no change in their life. How do you know that somebody believes Jesus Christ? What the Bible says? How do you know the tree? If the fruit is good, and then what? The tree is good. If the tree is not bearing the good fruits, we do not call that tree good tree. So here is saying, Jesus Christ has called us to do good things, produce the fruits, and live for righteousness. Repent of your sins and live for Christ. This is what his preaching was. Now there are people teaching something like this. Once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved forever. Means once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you go and do any kind of crime, any kind of sins, and your sins will be forgiven automatically. Bible says, you know, when you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you follow him until death. No turning back. Stay in the blood of Jesus Christ. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Live clean and holy life. See what Paul is saying to the church of Philippi. Just Philippians chapter 2 verse 12.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
What is he trying to say? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Once you got saved, what do? Keep your faith in God. Protect your salvation. Don't lose your faith in God. Don't lose your salvation. That means if you turn away from God and start going other way, you will be lost. That's why he says repent means come back to God. A person doesn't repent after he became a Christian and keep on doing anything, and God will not automatically forgive you. So you have to repent and come back. God is gracious and loving, but he doesn't allow people to be stubborn. Okay, let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 21.
For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, King Agrippa, you know why people arrested me? Because I am doing the Lord's work. And I went to the temple to worship the Lord. But these people are after me. They want to kill me. They want to destroy me. But I am doing the Lord's work, preaching the gospel, no matter small group, big groups, small person, big person, Jewish person, or heathen person. I kept on doing the Lord's work. There are some people, they like to have meeting with only particular kind of group. Black people like black churches, white people like white churches, Indian people like Indian churches, Spanish people like Spanish churches. That's good if you don't know the language. But if you know the language, you have to learn to worship with all people together. Because God loves everyone. So he said, I try to teach the word of God to everyone. There was no partiality in the eyes of Paul. He was the first evangelist God called to preach the gospel to Gentiles. Even the Philip went before Paul and preached the gospel to Gentiles, but Paul was specially ordained to bring the gospel to Gentiles. Okay, let's 23.
That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad.
Okay. Why Festus became mad? Paul is not mad. Festus became mad. And he is trying to say, Paul, too much learning made you mad, means you are not yourself. You're saying something else. What did he say? He said, Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. That's what Paul said. And the Festus didn't want to hear these things. He said, what are you talking about, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What are you talking about, Jesus Christ is good for Jews and Gentiles, and Jesus Christ is the only one Savior? We don't want to hear this. You might be mad. You might be out of your mind. Because people want to hear God is good to all people. Hindus, Muslims, Jain, Buddhists, or any other religion is equal to Christianity. And that's what people want to hear. Read what it says, Acts chapter 4, verse 12.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
What name? Jesus Christ is the only name. Can man get saved? There is no other name given on earth, heaven, or under earth. You should have the boldness, no matter King Agrippa asking you a question, or no matter Larry King asking you a question, you should know that Jesus saved you. And Jesus is the only Savior. Don't compromise. God is going to ask you a question. I give you a chance over the whole world to preach and tell Who is your Savior? Why can't you tell the world? St. Paul is saying, this is my job. I'm telling the whole world, Jewish and Gentiles, everywhere the same message. Jesus is the Savior. He is risen Lord. Not a single religion in the world can tell me their leader died for them and rose again. Not a single one. Jesus is the only holy one. Jesus is the only one who lived clean and holy life, and he shed his holy blood. Amen. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. So he forgave you and me on the cross. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So Jesus Christ gives you forgiveness. So we should not have fear. We read a few minutes ago. Please read that verse one more time. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Say, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Then who gives the spirit of fear? The enemy. What Paul says, let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 26, verse 25.
But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness.
He says, oh, noble Festus, I'm not mad. I'm speaking the words of truth and what? In soberness. He's saying, Mr. Festus, I'm not drunk. When you drink, your mind is not clear. You might be saying something else. Just think that Paul was drunk man and he's giving witness. Bernice, Agrippa and Festus will listen to Paul if he was drunk man? No. That's why Paul's saying, I have a sound mind. I'm not drunk and I am saying this with the soberness of mind. And what I'm telling, the words of truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. What Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. He says, Agrippa, Festus, I'm not mad. I'm in my sober mind. I'm preaching the truth about Jesus Christ. Okay. Verse 26.
For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner.
What he's trying to say, Mr. Festus? What I'm trying to tell you, this is not a secret. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He died for us. He rose again. He's the living God. And everybody had the witness. And I was not preaching this in a corner. I preached the word of God throughout the world, and everyone knows what my preaching was and what Jesus Christ is all about. Go to any heathen country and tell them, do you know who Jesus is? They will say, oh, we know Jesus. Everyone knows who Jesus is, but everyone doesn't believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Some people think he's a good man. Some people think he's a good prophet. Some people will think he's a good leader. But I say he is my Savior and he is my Lord. That's important. Okay, verse 27.
King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest.
Now, he's talking to king. You have to have a lot of respect. But he is not afraid of king. He says, oh, King Agrippa, do you believe this, what I'm trying to say? Do you believe what the prophet said? And before he could answer, he said, I know, you believe it. So he just answered for him. He said, I believe the prophet. I believe what the prophet said. What prophet said? If you read the Isaiah 53, you know what prophet said. So he's trying to say, you know what prophet said. And you believe in prophet. And before he could say, Paul says, I know you believe it. What Agrippa is saying? Verse 28.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Then he said, oh, Paul, you are so smart. You already preached to me, and you already told me that I'm believing what you're preaching. That means you already convinced me to be a Christian. In short, he's trying to say, I believe the Christianity or the Christ is the only Savior. But he could not say very clearly. And so what Paul is saying, verse 29.
And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds.
Look at the courage of Paul. Paul says, King Agrippa, not only you, not the Festus or Bernice, but all the people who are hearing my voice right now, I want those people to be free like me in the spirit. I'm bound. Only the chain I have in my hands, I don't want anybody to be bound and go to prison. But I want people to believe what I believe. Not only King, but everyone who is listening to me. You should have a courage to tell this to anybody. We should not be afraid to preach the gospel. What St. Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, please read.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed? No. If you say I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are not telling our neighbors this. Our God is doing science and wonders and miracles. Okay, let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 26, verse 30.
And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds.
Okay, now when they heard the gospel of from the Paul, they were convinced, and Agrippa and the Bernice and Festus and other people went in another room and had a counseling. What should we do now? Paul is a good man. He's not a madman. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't hurt anyone. Why we have to judge him and kill him or send him to Jerusalem to be killed? What we should do? And they got some idea. They said, Paul didn't do anything that he should be killed or he should be chained. Let's read verse 32.
Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar.
Now, Agrippa gave his opinion to Festus. You remember what the Festus called Agrippa and said, let's have a meeting and let us hear about Paul. And then I'm going to give the judgment. And then I'm going to send him to a Caesar in Rome. And I need something to write. I cannot make my decision. Agrippa, please listen to Paul. And that's what the Agrippa was there. And Agrippa says to Festus, you know, this man should be set free. He did not do anything wrong. We should not keep him in prison. We should let him go. But the problem is this. Paul is saying, I want to go to Rome. I want to go to Caesar. So now we have no choice but send Paul to Rome. And why Paul was saying, I want to go to Rome? Because Jesus appeared to Paul. And Jesus said to Paul, Paul, you gave a good witness in Jerusalem. Now I want you to go to Rome and give the same witness in Rome. So, Paul did not have any choice. Even though these people would have set him free, he would have said, okay, set me free. I don't want to go to Rome. I changed my mind. They would have set Paul free. But Paul said, I want to go to Caesar. I want to go to Rome and send me Rome. So he said, okay, that's what you want? That's what we are going to do. But now we cannot read in this chapter what happens. Next chapter, next week, we are going to see Paul's journey to Rome. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for Paul. You gave him the courage and boldness to preach the gospel in front of king and other audience. Give us the same boldness to preach the gospel in our neighborhood, in Philadelphia, in surrounding cities, and around the world. We can do it by your grace. We are available. Use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.